Well, amen. Thank you, Cindy. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 29, please. Proverbs 29. Let me just say a brief word about the Sweetheart Banquet. I encourage you to get your tickets and come to the Sweetheart Banquet this year. Our speaker is Evangelist John Bishop. And Brother Bishop is one of the most unique fellows you'll ever meet in your life. He contracted some physical problems and ended up losing his memory and has had to relearn everything. Now, this happened to him as an adult, and he has had to relearn everything. And his story, his testimony is just phenomenal. You will laugh. You will laugh. You will cry. You will shout. It is just phenomenal. And he tells you about it. And of course, you know, this happened. He was married. And he had to just relearn everything. And he says his favorite thing to learn was kissing. He said he needed a lot of practice on that because, you know, he wanted to make sure he was doing it right. And bless his heart, it is so good. And he is just a remarkable testimony to the grace of God. And you do not want to miss it. It will be a blessing to your heart. So sign up and get your tickets now, and let's pack the place out this year. We're having it once again across the street at Martin's, and good food and good music and good speaker, good fellowship. It's just hard to beat that evening. It's going to be a great time. So stop by the welcome desk and secure your tickets as soon as you can. But you will enjoy Brother Bishop, I promise you that. He is a character. He is something else. All right, look please at your Bible here at Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. I want to read a familiar verse of Scripture, and it's familiar because I've preached from the first part of it before, but there's the second part that I want to focus on this morning, and then we'll look at a couple other passages of Scripture that connect with this. But verse 18, the familiar part, where there is no vision, the people perish. But now notice the last part of the verse. It says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now go back to the 16th chapter of Proverbs. And let me read you a connecting verse here. Actually, we'll read a couple of verses beginning in the 18th verse. Another familiar passage of Scripture. But chapter 16, verse 18. Here, Solomon says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Now look at the last part of that. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of being happy. And I want us to think about happiness for a little while this morning and trust that God will bless this and encourage our hearts with it. Let's pray together and then the message. Our Father, we do thank you so much for the Savior. And Lord, we're thankful that we can sing about the Lord. And Lord, we're thankful that we can give unto the Lord. But now we're thankful, Lord, that we can hear from the Lord through His Word. And I pray that you will bless us richly this morning. Open our understanding to what we're about to receive. And may the power of God be upon the message this morning. Father, I need you to help me today. And you know my heart, Lord. I want to be used mightily of the Lord to say something that will lift spirits, to say something that will encourage us in the things of God. And Lord, to just help us through another day. of living in this old wicked, sinful world. And Lord, I pray that you'll just put the joy of the Lord in our hearts this morning, and put the desire in our hearts to want to walk with the Lord and to read the Word and grow and be what we ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, bless us richly this morning. Thank you for each person who has made their way out this morning. And, Lord, I pray that our gathering here today will not be in vain, but that, Lord, you will use this time to draw each and every one of us into a closer walk with you. Lord, bless. And if there's someone here today that's not sure they're saved, speak to their heart. Show them their need of the Lord Jesus, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. All right, I want to speak to you on something that both these verses have in common. Both these verses talk about how to be happy. The first verse says, "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." The second verse says, "He who trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." So I want to speak to you on happiness this morning. Now be honest, how many of you would like to be happy all the time? Raise your hand. All over the building, raise your hand. Well, forget it, all right? That ain't going to happen. I'm sorry to burst your bubble here, but it just doesn't work that way. I think if ever there was a misunderstood concept, it is in the area of happiness and of being happy. For instance, what would make one person happy would not necessarily make someone else happy. I have talked with folks through the years, and many a time when you sit down with someone and you listen to their story and you try to help them, they will say to you, "You know, Pastor, I'm just not happy." And then they'll tell you what they think would make them happy. And sometimes it is something I've heard many a time. You know, "Well, Pastor, if I just had some more money, I think I'd be happy." Well, I can tell you folks right now, money is not what brings happiness. I know people that have money, and it's not the criteria that makes them happy. I know people that don't have money, and that's not the criteria that makes them happy. If a person could get all the money they want, they still would not find happiness. Now, you may be sitting here thinking, "Well, you know, I'd like to at least give that a shot and see if maybe that works." You can be assured, folks, that money is not where happiness is found. But the simple truth of the matter is, all of us want to be happy. Happiness is something that all of us have a desire in our hearts to be. And that's why people are always looking for happiness. So you see people that go to therapists and counselors and psychiatrists and they go to gurus and health clubs and vacation spas. And what they're doing is they're looking for happiness that just always seems to be one step ahead of them. And they just never really find what they're looking for. But the simple truth of the matter is that most of our ideas of happiness many times conflict with the biblical idea of happiness. And I think what we need to do this morning is take a little time and look at the Word of God and see what the Bible has to say on the subject. You see, the Bible has the answers for everything, does it not? Of course it does. We all understand that. God's Word is where we find God's truth. And certainly God created us with the capacity for happiness and with the desire for happiness. And so I think if we go to the Word of God, we can find out what God has to say about the subject, and it will be very helpful to us. So let's look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say. Now, from these two passages of Scripture that I just read for you, I'd like to ask a question, first of all, and then hopefully answer it for you, and in so doing, give you at least something to consider and something to think about in this matter of happiness. The question is this: where do you find happiness? Where do you find it? And as I thought about that subject, it occurred to me that there are really only two options or two sources for happiness. Now, you understand that from the text that I read for you, God says that if we would keep the law of God, Now, that's not necessarily just the Ten Commandments and the statutes and ordinances of the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, but when God is making a reference to the law, He is making a reference to His Word. And so if we would keep the Word of God, then we'll find happiness. In the other passage of Scripture, it goes from things that you do to what's in your heart. And when he said, he that trusteth in the Lord. Well, you know that trust in the Lord is a heart issue. That's something that that you as an individual concentrate upon and you exercise faith in and you trust in the Lord. And so we know that one of the two sources is going to be the Lord. I'll deal with that secondly. But there is in the Bible, at least the Bible tells us, that there is a secondary source where I'm afraid most people look to this source for happiness, and strangely they cannot find it there, yet they keep looking for it in this source. That other source, the which will be the first one I will deal with, the first option or the first source that people look to for happiness is the world. The world. Now, the world, we all understand that the world has a lot to offer, especially nowadays. The world has a lot to offer. Many people go to the world and they look for happiness in the world, and they never get satisfied with that, but they continue looking to the world as their source of happiness. Now, hold your place here in Proverbs and go over to the book of Hebrews for just a minute. Let me show you what the writer of Hebrews has to say about the world and happiness. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 and look with me at verse 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 11. And look, please, at verse 24 and 25. And you'll see here that the Bible shows us and explains to us that the world is one place where people look for happiness. Look at verse 24. The writer here says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to," what's the next word? "Enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Now, it's rather clear here, according to verse 25, that the world offers the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, it's very clear. I mean, many people go to the world because the world has a lot of options. And there are a lot of things in the world that people look to the world and they say, "Yeah, man, if I do that, I'm going to be happy, and I'll find the answer that I'm looking for. I'll find happiness in the things of the world." But folks, I want to reassure you here and use verse 25 as the caveat for making this statement, but the world has no solutions for you when it comes to happiness. You say, "Oh, but it said here the pleasures of sin." Yes, it did. But you'll also look at the last part of that verse and it says, "for a season." You see, sin does not last, the pleasures of sin do not last very long. I mean, you might have pleasure for a little bit, but it's not going to last. You see, someone who says, "You know, okay, I'm 21. I'm going to go out and get drunk. I'm going to go drink." And so a 21-year-old will go out and legally buy alcohol and consume that alcohol, and they'll get drunk, and they'll have themselves a time. But then they wake up the next morning and their head's out to here. All right, and they're throwing up all over the place. And you look at it and say, are you having fun? No, the pleasures of sin only last for a season. But then they'll go out and do it again, then go out and do it again, then go out and do it again. And one of these days, when they're broke, and when they've ruined their marriage, and when they've lost their job, and when they can't go a day without the alcohol, they say, I want to be released from this. I don't want to do this anymore. And they'll go to put it down, and they can't put it down. And the pleasures of sin are no longer the pleasures of sin, but it's the guilt and it's the addiction and it's the ruined life and it's the destruction that comes with sin. People try all kinds of things, but realize, folks, that alcohol only gives a temporary happiness. It is not a lasting happiness. The effects wear off. That's the way alcohol works. The effects wear off, and then it leaves you in worse condition and in worse shape than when you started. Alcohol always works the same way. It stimulates, and you feel all giddy, and you feel all good, and you feel all excited, and then after a while, it negates. It brings you back down, and that's when you have the reactions in your body with the sickness and with the headaches and with the blurred vision and all the rest, and then it depresses. And it leaves you in worse condition than before you took the drink. That's why people try drugs and pornography and gangs and gambling and power and money. But when the party is over, then there is the remaining factor of guilt that leaves you even more empty and more hollow than what you were before. And so here's the world out there, and the world says, hey, come, you can find happiness out here with us. Come on, everybody's doing it. Get in on it. You know, grab the gusto. And everybody is doing this. And so you go out there thinking that you're going to find happiness when in reality you find anything but happiness. What you end up with is a life of misery. Now, let me show you how sin works. Let me show you a little formula here. And I've given this formula before in other sermons, but it is so true and so apropos and a lot of new folks. So let me give it to you. Here it is. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 statements. Here it is. Ready? Number one, sin always starts with a suggestion. Always. Sin always starts with a suggestion. Statement number two, a suggestion becomes a desire. Now, the first one was what? Sin always starts with a what? Say it. Suggestion. All right, hang on to that. Number two, a suggestion always becomes a desire. Number three, a desire always becomes an intent. Number four, an intent then becomes an act. Number five, an act becomes a memory. And number six, a memory becomes another suggestion. And so you just keep the process rolling over and over and over. That's how sin works. And that's why sin digs deeper and deeper and deeper. And that is why it becomes easier to sin. You see, what I'm saying to you folks is the world has no solutions. I mean, somebody out here in their teen years will decide, I'm my own person. I can do what I want to do. I'll drink if I want to drink. And so they start drinking. They sin against God. They disobey their parents. They break the law, and they start drinking. And so as time goes on, they drink and they drink and they drink and they drink, and then they become drunkards. That's what the Bible calls them. The Bible doesn't call them alcoholics. The Bible calls them drunkards. We call them alcoholics because we say it's a disease. Oh, no, my friend. Alcoholism is not a disease. Alcoholism is sin against God. Cancer is a disease. All right? Leukemia is a disease. But alcoholism is not a disease. It's drunkardness. It is sin. And so you get out here as a drunkard and you wake up one day and you look around and you see you've got no money. You've lost your license. You've lost your job. You've lost your friends. You've lost your wife. You've lost your kids. You've lost everything. And you stand around out here, look around one of these days and say, wow, what has happened to me? I tell you what's happened to you. You started out with a suggestion years ago, and that suggestion just kept working, and it went through the cycle over and over and over and over until sin and the world destroyed everything you had. And you can look around out there and say, "Ooh, man, I'm anything but happy." So you see, the world offers happiness, but it's not real happiness. Not when it gets through with you. But there's a second source where men can find happiness. You can find it in the world. It's temporary in the world. It will not last. But then there's a second source, and that second source is God. You see, folks, the amazing fact is this. God has the solutions for all of our problems. God has the solutions. For all the problems the world carries with it, God is the solution for it all. For all the problems of the Christian life, God is the solution. And the amazing thing is that God has so arranged things so that He is the solution. Do you remember Philippians 4:19? One of my favorite verses in the Bible. And here's what Paul said. Paul said, "But my God shall supply all your need," not needs, plural, but need, one great big package. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You see, God has designed this whole thing so that He is the solution for all of our problems. I'm saying, folks, that God is the solution. He not only has the solution, He is the solution for all our problems. So you got one of two options. You can try to find happiness in the world, and you might find it for a little while. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but eventually the world is going to do to you what it does to everybody else. It's going to just chew you up and spit you out, and you're going to be miserable. Or you can find your happiness in God. So where do we find true happiness? Well, folks, look at your Bible, please. Let's start with chapter 29 in Proverbs, where we read a moment ago, and notice what the Word of God says. It said, "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." He that keepeth God's Word, happy is he. Back in chapter 16 and verse 20, it said, "He that trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." Go back to Psalm 146 for just a minute. Psalm 146. Let me give you another verse that talks about happiness. Go back to Psalm 146. And look, please, if you will, at verse 5. Verse 5. "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Whose hope is in the Lord whose God. Happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Folks, the scriptures amplify this thought. Three times here now. Psalm 146, verse 5. Proverbs 16:20. Proverbs 29:18. The scriptures amplify the fact that our happiness comes in a right relationship with God. Now, listen very carefully to this statement. Our overriding goal should not be to seek happiness, but to keep our hearts right with God. You see, what I'm afraid that what we try to do is we set out with a goal to be happy, and then we never meet it. We never find happiness. Your goal should not be happiness. Your goal should be a right relationship with God. Your goal should be, I'm going to learn how to trust in the Lord. Your goal should be, I'm going to seek God and let God help me. Your goal should be, I'm going to walk in the Word of God. And if that is your goal, then happiness is a byproduct of being rightly related to God. That's what the Bible says here. So our overriding goal should not be to seek happiness, but to keep our hearts right with God. I am never going to be happy if I am just all consumed with being happy. It's never going to happen. That's self-centeredness. And it is a deceptive idea. So what I need to do is to reject the idea of being happy and adopt the idea of being like the Lord Jesus. Just be Christ-like. And if I'm Christ-like, then happiness is a byproduct of that. Let me say it to you this way. Personal happiness must be seen as a byproduct and not as a goal. The goal of happiness is forever elusive, regardless of one's strategy. But the byproduct of happiness is wonderfully available to those whose goal is to live for God and to trust in God and to lean upon God at every step of the way. Now, a little while ago, I asked you, how many of you folks want to be happy all the time? And you all smiled and your eyes lit up and you threw your hand up in the air. Good grief, some of you threw your shoulder out of place, throwing your arm up in the air. Yeah, we all want to be happy. My goodness, all of us want to be happy. And then I said, well, you can forget it. It's impossible. You can't be happy all the time. And you can't. You're not going to be happy all the time. You say, but Pastor, I want to be. Forget it. It's not going to happen. And the reason is because you live in a wicked, old, sinful world. You live in a world that is just being torn apart by sin and by the effects of sin. The simple truth is we live in a world of sin and guilt and despair and death. And disease. I mean, the world is looking for some euphoric age to come where men will just be happy all the time. But it will never happen. There is no such world on this planet. There's no such world. That world is coming one of these days when the Lord brings it. But you're not going to find it here now. Can you imagine going to a funeral home to pay respects to someone you love that you've spent your life with and not grieving? You're going to have sad days. You're going to have hard days. Can you imagine you're all huddled around a hospital bed and the doctor comes in and tells you that you've just been diagnosed with a cancerous tumor in your liver and it's inoperable and you've got 3 to 6 months to live? Well, let me tell you something, folks. When you get that news, you're not going to experience happiness when you hear that. There's going to be times when we're going to be distraught. There's going to be times because of this world that we live in and sin and the effects of sin where we're going to have our problems. But that's when we do what the Bible says. We walk with the Lord. We trust in the Lord. We claim the promises of the Lord. We know our Bibles. We read our Bibles and we lean upon His understanding and He will guide and direct our hearts. And the end result of that is even in the midst of the storm, you can be a happy individual because your faith is in Christ. Now, Satan would have you believe that you can be happy all the time and that you should be happy all the time. But the truth is, folks, the more you seek happiness, the harder it is to find. Happiness can only be found as a byproduct of being in fellowship with God. So what should the goal of every believer be? You say, well, Pastor, what should we do then? Well, I think every believer has a twofold function that he ought to strive for. First of all, to offer the sacrifice of worship to God. Just to worship God in your life. To worship God. You say, well, I'm here this morning and I stood and when everybody else was singing the songs, I was singing too. I'm worshiping the Lord. Well, what are you going to do tomorrow? Are you going to worship the Lord tomorrow? I mean, I said, turn in your Bible, and you all reached over and you got your Bible and you opened it up and you followed along as I read the scripture. Let me ask you, are you going to open your Bible tomorrow? I mean, worship the Lord. I'm not talking about just on Sunday morning. I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm talking about you worship God. You just read your Bible. Get to know the God of your Bible. Folks, listen, if you want to get to know God, you'll learn of God right here in this book. This book is the mind of God. Everything God wants you to know, He has written it in this book. It's called His Word, the Bible, the Scriptures. And God, if you will read your Bible, you will learn of God. You will learn His character. You will learn His nature. You will learn His promises. You will learn all you need to know from reading out of the Bible. And that's how you offer the sacrifice of worship to God. You want to be happy? Learn to worship God. You say, how do you do that? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Get to know God. Pray. Walk with God. I mean, just serve the Lord. All right? Second thing. What should be our goal as a believers? Number one, to worship God. Number two, to offer the sacrifice of service to others. Now, I want you to notice how these two go together. One, you stay right with God. You trust Him. You serve Him. You love Him. You worship Him. But then, secondly, to offer the sacrifice of service to others. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that you get in your Bible and you learn how to behave as a Christian, and then you exemplify those Christ-like characteristics to the world. You live for Christ. I'm talking about being kind. I'm talking about being gracious. I'm talking about being compassionate. I'm talking about being forgiving. I'm talking about being thoughtful. Our Lord was all of these things. And when we become Christ-like by reading the Word and worshiping God, then we can exemplify that life, and we are of service to others. I'm talking about learning Christ and becoming a soul winner. I'm talking about learning God and being able to take the Bible and show somebody else how they can know that they're going to spend eternity in heaven. I'm talking about serving by teaching and by singing in the choir and by being a part of the visitation program. I'm talking about just you learning Christ, becoming Christ-like in your life, and in showing that to somebody else. And folks, that's what our New Testament church is all about. That's what it's all about. I hope you see that we're at the very heart of Christian living here. And I think the reason that so many Christians are not happy, and why they're depressed all the time and tired all the time and apathetic all the time, is because there is no daily striving to be like Christ. We ought to read our Bible every day, Christian. Read it every day. I just really beg and plead with you to get in your Bible and learn the God of the Bible. The reason that we don't is we just don't take the time to do it. So let me challenge you to read your Bible. We ought to study the Scriptures and read the Word of God every day. That's function number one. That's worship. We should be in church 3 times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now, listen, tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to do this all over again. Yeah. You say, you mean you have Sunday night services? Yes, we do. And you would benefit greatly by being here. And then, this is really going to blow you away. On Wednesday, you know, like today, Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, then that next day, Wednesday, at 7 o'clock, we do it again. And I've been teaching on the tabernacle on Wednesday nights. Sundays I preach to you. On Wednesdays I teach you the Word of God. I study a whole lot more for Wednesday than I do for both services on Sunday. I really do, because I want to get in and teach you the Scripture and teach you what, and God teaches, is teaching me as I'm studying and preparing the lessons and then come in here and give them to you. So it's beneficial to everybody. So be here, worship God, learn how to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. But then we have all these other things, like visitation, like the bus ministry, like the choir, like the master's clubs, like the divorce care, like the reformers. We have all these other things that we do. And We need help from someone who says, man, I'm learning Christ. I'm growing. I'm maturing. I'm learning how to behave, and I'm learning how to act, and I'm learning how to think. God's word is teaching me how to think right. And we're becoming more like Jesus with each and every passing day. And those are the people that come in and get in the places where they can serve the Lord in the church. And folks, when we start doing that, when we start worshiping God, when we start serving the Lord, the byproduct of that is happiness. I don't know how many people have talked to me through the years, and they've said, you know, Pastor, I can look back to when I was coming to church three times a week, and I can look back to when I was involved in the soul winning ministry. I can look back to when I was working on the bus route. I can look back to when I was singing in the choir and here Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And Pastor, those were the happiest days of my life. Amen. And sure enough, that's true. You know it's true. And I know it's true. You say, well, Pastor, I sure wish I could get happy. Well, then why don't you quit striving to be happy and start striving to get close to the Lord? Why don't you, instead of sitting around saying, boy, I sure wish I was happy. I'm not happy, but I wish I was happy. How can I get happy? Why don't you quit talking about all that and just get you a Bible and open it up to the Gospel of John, and you just start reading the Bible every day and learn Christ. Learn what Christ-likeness is. Learn what living for God is. And all of a sudden you'll find that happiness comes as you are worshiping God and serving others. Folks, can I remind you that there is one person in human history who was so characterized by these two attributes that he stands out like a shining light. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I remind you, he said, I have come to do the will of my Father. He didn't do anything if it wasn't the Father's will. He trusted fully in his Heavenly Father. And can I remind you that he said, I did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister. He did not come so that others could serve him. He came to be a servant to others. And his whole life was categorized in those two areas. And we sit around and wonder why we're not happy when we don't read our Bibles and we don't come to church and we don't do anything when we do come to church. We won't join the church. We sit back like a spectator and then expect everything to be hunky-dory. Oh no, my friend, jump in there. Jump in there. Jump in with both feet. And just say, okay, Lord, here I am. I'm going to put you first. I'm going to serve the Lord with a glad heart. And you jump in and find something. I had a fellow come to me years ago, and he said, Pastor, I want to do something. What can I do? I said, I don't know. What can you do? He said, I don't know. I can do about anything. Just what can I do? I said, here's what you do. Find a hole and get in it. Just find a hole. There's lots of holes around here. Find one and get in it and fill up the hole. And he did. He became one of our solid good people. I mean, that's, you can count on them. They're there. And folks, I'm telling you, you say, I wish I was happy. Well, forget it. Forget it. You're starting out at the wrong place. What you need to do, what you ought to say is, today, I'm going to start on the road to become more like Jesus. I'm going to get in my Bible. I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn Christ. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to live for the Lord. And then I'm going to get in the area of service, and I'm going to do something for God. And my friend, if you'll do that, I'll guarantee you that happiness is going to follow along the trail. That's where happiness comes from. It is a byproduct of a right relationship with God. May God help us. May God help us to see this principle and to obey it. This is the word of God, folks. Happy is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Happy is the man whose trust is in the Lord. Are you trusting him today?